I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com. We have a full house today on a Saturday. I don't know if you want to call it a scrimmage, a practice, or whatever you want to call it, out on the lake shore of Lake Washington at Husky Stadium. Kind of a drizzle, kind of got spit on a little bit. We were undercover most of the time, but the weather's dramatically changed from earlier on in the week. But lots of situational football today. And I'm Kim Grinnells, along with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, former intern Luke Munger is back with us today, and our current intern Jack McCauley. So all five of us in the house today.
Is there any such thing as an ex-intern or former intern?
All I know is I still don't get paid. Right?
I thought you were always the intern
emeritus. Lifelong. Yeah.
Although Joe Kaiser is really the intern emeritus.
Yeah, so that's true.
Well, the other down part of that is you no longer pay us.
That's true.
Anyways, back in the house today, but a lot of situational football today. Full pads. We had some thud tempo, we had some cut tempo, and we had some live tempo. But Chris, just a little bit about the situational football. And just before that, what would you guess? About 500 people in the stands today?
There are more people in the stands than I kind of thought, to be honest. I figured, given the forecast, that people might stay away a little bit. But to their credit, they came out. It was great. Dubs made an appearance. He walked around the stands and checked everybody out, so that was fun. And but yeah, the situational stuff, to be honest with you, I thought they did a lot more situational work, especially two-minute drill stuff, yesterday, Friday, compared to today. Today they actually had a pretty big team period in the middle where they were just running. I mean, they were keeping track, and they were, you know, going about it like they normally would. But there was a lot less two-minute stuff. One thing that they did add at the end of practice was a four-minute, basically like a keep away, where, you know, they, I think they had it at 2 minutes and 20 seconds. They had one, I think it was two minutes, 43 seconds or whatever. And basically it was the offense's job to shut down the game. They were ahead in the game. You get a first down, a couple first downs, you win the game. And to be fair, the first team offense and the second team offense both did that drill very, very well. I think the second team had a penalty, a face mask or something that, you know, basically won the game for the offense. But the first team offense with Dylan Morris did some nice things, executed, and won that period. So I thought overall it was a good job by the offense in those situations. But overall, again, defense had a great day.
Luke, your first chance to see Patrick O'Brien, you seem to have come away impressed.
Yeah, you know, I've been obviously reading and listening about how Patrick O'Brien has had an impressive spring. Getting to see it live was fun. He connected with, I think, Sawyer Racanelli a couple of times on the first period that I saw, and ended up in a touchdown run from Kamari Pleasant on that drill. And he led three touchdown drives in total today. So, yeah, I thought Patrick O'Brien looked impressive. Jimmy mentioned this week that the quarterback room talent and competition level has taken a step up from last year, and I think that was evident today.
Yeah, he basically said that it's way ahead of where it was last year. Mm-hmm. From a talent standpoint, and that's saying something because they had two other four-star quarterbacks mm-hmm. in there, and Ethan Garbers and Jacob yeah. Sermon. So, you know, I like what I saw today. I thought the defense came out and flew around and made some plays, mm-hmm. but I thought the offense made some plays too. Overall, really good practice on both sides, mm-hmm. I think.
Jack, Dylan Morris, steady as ever, and Mr. Heward still seems to be struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Heward, you know, kind of like we've been saying, you know, that five-star talent, but still a freshman, you know, he had a really nice deep ball mm-hmm. to Taj Davis, put it right on the money, but then there was those other plays, too. It's like, oh, you're throwing it there, buddy, right through the hands a couple times. Could have been interceptions. I know one of them was Cooper McDonald, but yeah, like, you know, like you said, you know, Dylan Morris, super steady, made a lot of good plays, hit his guys, and, you know, Heward flashed that talent, but also little bit sloppy.
You are the young guy on the staff.
I am.
So imagine being 3 weeks out of high school and being thrown into that. Because it wasn't that long ago that you were 3 weeks out of
high
school.
You're having guys that are 6'1", you know, 240 pounds protecting you at a 6'8", 330, you know. It's a bit of, I mean, that just right there speaks for itself.
Yeah, it's just got to be scary, like I said.
Oh, yeah, I know. And just having guys like Jeremiah Martin, Ryan Bowman run after you are a little bit scary, too.
With the full contact that we had today and the thud tempo and the cut, we had a lot more contact today, so it makes it a little easier for us, Chris, to really get a true vision of what the running backs are going to look like.
Well, yeah, and just to give people an idea real quick, Tim Saha, who's the strength and conditioning coach, has been there since Peterson got here. So he's been, what, seventh, eighth year now. He always kind of barks out whether they're going live or whether it's what they call cut tempo, which is basically grab them, wrap them up, but don't take them to the ground. And so every once in a while you hear cut tempo, and then all of a sudden you'd hear live.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like an alarm. It's just live. And so it's fun to kind of know because – you can kind of get a sense when they get into certain third down situations, they want to see them react live. Mm-hmm. And so that was really good. I thought the running backs did a nice job of that. One of the really interesting calls during the day was when they were doing the 2-minute drill, and it was the first one with Patrick O'Brien, and they got down to the goal line, and it was basically 4 seconds left in the game. They're down by 7. This is fourth down, fourth and goal. And they have Kamari Pleasant there, and I'm actually with Dick Baird. We were talking a little bit. We were kind of talking back and forth on the drive, and I'm like, "So, Dick, do you think he has the balls to like run the ball and fourth down on this?" And he goes, "I don't know. I don't know if we'd do it." All this stuff, and then he gives the ball to Pleasant, and people were wondering if it was God's play, and it was nothing like God's play at all. It was Kamari Pleasant bouncing it outside
from the four,
yeah. Bouncing it outside and barely squeaking it in. It was a great run to Kamari's credit. He did a good job on that one. But overall, Cameron Davis, again, is getting a lot of reps with the ones, coming out with the ones. He showed a lot of toughness on some of the live reps that he was doing.
It just seems like keep in mind that they've got different packages for different guys, but it seems like the two top guys are Cam Davis and Richard Newton. Richard, of course, being out for a couple days, seemed to be a little bit behind, but he seems to be gaining. But does it seem like those are the two top guys to you?
Well, I think today you could have said that a little bit, but again, Pleasant and Sean McGrew, they're getting their reps. I mean, they're getting their turns. They're not going to get ignored at all. I want to say that it was... it was Richard Newton that had the touchdown straight ahead. What was it, like 20, 25 yards?
Except there's a holding.
It looked great, and then all of a sudden you see the flag in the ground. And you're like, oh, my God, here we go again. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, Kim, but the sloppiness of some of the execution on the offense's part is certainly something that's happened during this spring.
And I saw somebody ask if Caleb Berry got any plays or Sam Adams. No, neither one
did
of them.
Not, yeah, did not see Berry
I didn't
at
even
all.
See Berry on the sidelines. That doesn't mean he wasn't
no,
there.
No, he was there. He was there.
Okay, so, and I didn't see Sam Adams on the sidelines, and I'm sure he was probably there too. Yeah. But they didn't get any of the calls today. It was the top five guys basically were Pleasant and McGrew and Newton and Sunday and Davis. And, I mean, JV on Sunday just got absolutely destroyed.
Well, I was going to say something about that because in the particular tilt when I was talking about Saha and all of a sudden it goes live, and I'm thinking, half my brain's like, okay, I'm not really remembering. And then when you see Josh Calvert come in, absolutely, it just unload on him.
Yeah,
that was fun to watch because all of a sudden I was like, oh, that's right, we are live.
Yeah,
because I was thinking, oh my God, someone's going to pay a heavy price for that. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait a second, was a good hit.
Sunday didn't have the best practice I've ever seen because he also had a fumble a little bit later on a nice hit by Cam Williams, but. You know, overall, those are the five that got the carries. If you're wondering why the other ones didn't get carries, I think we're kind of wondering too. But it's just part of the way they rotate through spring.
Jack, as we saw last year with the running backs, it seemed like the guy that they liked to have in there on third downs was Cam Davis because he seemed to have the best hands and the best capability of catching the ball out of the backfield. But, you know, from my looking at Richard Newton this year, he just seems to have a little bit more bounce on his step. He's a little bit lighter on his feet. You know, I was talking to Deontay Cooper where I almost saw a little bit of Deontay Cooper at times, that little prance, you know, that sometimes these light-footed running backs get.
Yeah, like in that 20, 25-yard run, he definitely looked a lot lighter on his feet. You know, Richard Newton, you know, sometimes he's just so downhill, you know, carries a couple guys with him. But he was able to make a couple good evades. You know, had a couple nice sidesteps, and I think that was noticeable throughout the day too a couple times. Looks a lot lighter with that, with keeping that same physicality, which is real big in the running back room.
And to go back to Cam Davis real quick, we saw it just a couple times last year in terms of his physicality dragging guys with him. I mean, I think there was one pretty memorable run. Was it Arizona? I can't remember which game it was.
Are you talking last year?
Yeah.
Last year he had the longest run from scrimmage against Arizona, 56 yards, I think.
Well, no, that's Newton. I'm talking about Cam Davis.
I'm sorry, it's Cam Davis. Sorry
about that. But he had a couple memorable runs where it was like he was dragging guys with him, and he's shown that again in spurts this spring. I mean, so I think there is something about his game where maybe that aspect, that strength aspect, because he's not necessarily as big on the hoof looking as a guy like Newton or Pleasant, he's still a very physical runner when he needs to be.
Wide receivers, you know, Bynum seems to be the most reliable guy out there.
Yep.
Taj Davis, I think, is really coming along. Sawyer Racanelli, I mean, he makes some splash plays, but then he'll make some mistakes where he had a drop today and another ball where it looked like he didn't even see it coming, which led to an interception again of Sam Heward.
It didn't even look like he knew that he was going to be getting the ball. And maybe Sam.
And I'll tell you what, that was a great play by Mikel Esteen, too, because you could tell Racanelli wasn't on the same page because they almost kind of ran into each other. But Esteen was the one that was actually looking at the pass.
We're talking 20 yards down the seam.
Yeah, exactly. But he was able to adjust after getting bumped and still made the play. It was a great play by Esteen, and it was right after he had gotten like a touch sack. There was about a 5 or 10 minute period there where he really showed out and did a great job.
He also had I can't remember, it was later in practice too, but he came up and made, on a live play, I'm pretty sure, a tackle for loss.
And Racanelli also had a drop during the four minute downs series where it didn't hurt them in the end, but it's just one of those. I agree 100% with Kim. It's just, he makes plays, he looks good, he's down the field, he's doing what you would expect him to do, and then all of a sudden he just comes wide open, and he's got the ball, and it's just,
I think that's the same thing with Odunze, too. Like, you know, he'll be downfield 10
yards.
He had
a play like that, too.
Like where, you know, it looked like he was going to try and break a touched tackle and, you know, drop the ball before he even got there. But he also has those plays where it's like, oh, 15 yards downfield, and he's wide open, just can really get open, you know, just real splash play guy.
With Romo Odunze having that one drop, I think, I don't know, it was interesting because you're looking at, and you're thinking, obviously, I think one of the things that people pay attention to a lot during springtime is just like quarterback competition. But you see Dylan Morris has a drop 20 yards downfield, and that can totally change a possession, right? And then he was also in when Javion Sunday had his fumble, and that can stall or completely stop a drive in the midst of, I don't know, people kind of battling for reps and trying to be.
Well, the drive killers have been drops, but the drive killers have also been the holds, the false starts, and things like that too.
The other thing is too, as if we're talking about wide receivers, Jalen McMillan had a nice day today. He and Bynum ran a combo route, and the DBs went with Bynum, and leaving McMillan opened down the field for about a 25-yard gain. Yeah. So overall, really good play. I think the offensive play of the day came a couple plays after that too to Kate Otten for that
tight end screen. Yeah. They've been working on that a lot lately too.
It's the same play that they ran earlier last year. They ran that play too, and I want to say he almost scored on that one as well.
McMillan had the block at the goal line to get him in, but Otten made guys miss in the open field that you just don't see tight ends make guys miss like that in the open field.
When we take a look at the tight ends, you know, Kate Otten, of course, had the nice touchdown, you know, on the tight end screen. But, you know, certain practices, they're focusing on wide receivers or running backs or tight ends. It didn't seem like a lot of focus on the tight ends today. Mark Redmond, you know, is standing out a little bit. They had Devin Culp quite a bit lining up in the backfield. You know, Kate Otten obviously is really jumping out.
Yeah.
Quentin Moore out there today. Did you see him?
Oh, yeah. He had one series where he got a penalty.
He got a penalty, and then he got steamrolled on pass pro. Yeah, it was a rough day.
That's where Quentin Moore who is, I think, can be a difference maker in the passing game as a receiver, but that's where he's going to struggle. He is just not used to blocking. It's something he still has to work on. And it was one thing that he did quite a bit in his one season that he did play at Independence, where he only had like 8 receptions throughout the year, but he ended up blocking almost every game. And that was huge for him because he never did it in high school, but he's still, I'd say he's still way behind the other guys.
When we're talking about Redmond too, you know, that was a situation in the 4-minute drill where, you know, O'Brien found him wide open and it's just pop. It's
pop like, right off his hands.
Unbelievable. Now, to Racanelli's credit, Racanelli came in and made a 12-yard catch to keep the drive going where they could go into victory formation right after that. Mm-hmm. But that's a catch that Redmond has to make. I mean, it's just he has not shown you know, a situation where he's been consistently dropping balls. He's been really, really good about that. So that's where it was almost kind of like a double ouch, because those are key moments. That's a game killer. I mean, that when you can put a game away like that by just making a clean catch, and he had no one around him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could have just killed the game away, and that was fortunately they were able to make the play on the very next play to salt the game away. But those are tough situations, but those are the things you do in spring that you have to learn from, so hopefully in the fall you execute.
Penalties were killer today at times.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, you know, if you're the glass half empty guy, you're like, oh my God, this is just the same stuff we've always seen, blah, blah. But if you're a glass half full guy, you go, these are the things you have to learn from. And if you don't learn from them, yeah, you're going to get killed in the fall. But these are the things that they have to clean up. They just have to clean up. Now, to the offense's credit, they did have some false starts and some other things, the hold on Newton's touchdown. But I had not seen a lot of defensive penalties until today. But there was like a defensive face mask in the 4-minute drill that killed the game off. You know, didn't allow them to do anything because I think Cade Otten had gotten a catch for a first down on the third down. And then on top of it, there was a face mask, and it took them all the way down to the point where all they had to do was take a knee. And so there were some things on defense that started to show up, too, that were not things that we have seen so far this spring.
Luke, the killer penalty was on the nice 20-25-yard run by Richard Newton, and it got called back.
Yeah. No, I remember, I think Scott mentioned earlier, but it's one where you see Richard Newton take off, make a nice run in the end zone, and then everyone looks around and sees the flag, and everyone kind of, you know, hands on your head kind of disappointment. Another one also, Dylan Morris on a quarterback keeper took one into the end zone. Yeah. There was a holding, and then on what was then like third and goal from the 13, there was a delay of game, mm-hmm. which made it third and goal from the 18. So that was kind of a tough compounding of errors there as well.
I was going to say, I think that's the one with Dylan Morris when he was around with the ones. Yes. They got down to the 6, and then if you remember right before the delay, they had a hold.
Yeah, that was so one. He took it down on a keeper. Yeah,
but that's the thing. When you have a delay after a penalty, it's like –
That hurts.
Those are absolute drive killers, and we saw that against Stanford last year when they had the two holds.
Yeah, well, because it goes from there. You're like, you take away a touchdown on a keeper, so now you're back to the 16, and then you take a delay.
Right.
And now you're looking at like a 40-yard field goal, which is no gimme in college football, right? So, yeah
it's momentum. Yeah, like kind of momentum suffers. You know, you're thinking back to the Stanford game, and like those are games that can help you put you back in the game and can get your defense fired up and create a stop and give your offense more leverage, but instead, you know, hold, delay. You're looking, you know, like you said, no gimme field goal.
Yeah,
you know. And it's like, gosh, man, you know, those just can't happen in the fall. Especially, you know, execution's just so big in a, you know, especially, I guess, with the new quarterback, working with a new offensive lineman, like that has to be a lot better this year.
I was also going to say, Ken, we can catch this at the end if you want, but I think we should come back and talk a little bit at the end about the kicking battle. Because yeah. I think one is starting to maybe emerge a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we had two highlights of for today. One was the Sam Huard had a really nice throw down the sideline. Taj Davis was pretty much blanketed, but Sam just kind of dropped it in like a Stephon Curry three-point shot. He just kind of dropped it into the bucket. Nice catch. But the other play of the game, it just kind of resonated. Mr. Sermon just really laid out JV on Sunday. You could see that hit coming in a mile away. Josh Calvert just read that and just annihilated.
Well, when you say Sermon, you're talking about Camden Sermon.
Yeah.
He threw a hospital pass out there to JV on Sunday.
I mean, that lobbed it over there.
I mean, those are the kind where the running back comes back into the, you know, huddle and goes, "We got a problem if you ever do that again."
You could see it coming.
Oh, yeah.
The whole stadium could see it coming.
But and I don't want to gloss away from it because it was a decleater. It was a monster hit. Everyone loved it.
It was the hit of spring.
The fans, the fans went nuts. And clearly it was against a guy that had laid down the marker at the beginning of spring. I think that adds another layer to all of this. But that being said, the one thing I do want to talk about is this is Josh Calvert, at least to my understanding, the first time I've seen him play outside linebacker. And I think they're trying to get him on the field somehow, some way, because I think they love his smarts. They obviously love his toughness and the fact that he can deliver a hit like that and a clean hit, because it was in front of referees and they didn't call anything. So it was reminiscent, for people that didn't see it and give you some context, it was very reminiscent of the hit that Byron Murphy had on Britton Covey against Utah, down in Utah. It was an absolute decapitation.
And Scott, Chris is talking about them wanting to get Josh Calvert on the field more, but the guy that I think is stepping up at that position, we're finally starting to see some movement by Daniel Himuli.
Yeah, he's looked a little bit better. You've seen a lot of times where he's been in there. He actually came in. He replaced Edefawan Ulufosio.
Yeah, but let's be clear. We're talking about him in the middle. We're not talking about him on the edge.
Yeah. So, but he came in and replaced Eddie, and I thought held his own.
He had a big stick of Sean McGrew when they went live.
Yeah, he had a couple really nice plays. Yep. So, he has definitely started to make a move. Now, does it mean much in the long run? I don't know. We'll have to just see. But they're wanting to get to see him a little bit more with the ones, and that was pretty impressive.
Kim, I also want to make sure that you have those two big plays of the game, and I wanted to add one more. I thought that the hit by Cam Williams on JV on Sunday to force the fumble, that's the first time we've really seen a running back fumble the ball live.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was even more interesting was the scrum afterwards to try to come up with the ball, and it was not clear for a while. And the referees are looking around, and the thing is that we're high enough, we should be able to see it, but everybody's surrounding the play. The referees are waiting, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, it's going, it's defense ball. So then it takes another 30 seconds to figure out who came up with it, and it was Jacob Bandis. And so it was.
Taimani in the story.
Okay, oh no, it was bad. You're right. It was. Taimani.
It was Taimani.
Okay. I had my brain on the.
Also,
on
it's
catch.
So hard to see everything, because Jackson Sermon was kind of talking about today. The energy, the defense, everyone just storming, and they see the bump, they see the ball on the floor, and the whole sideline's out there just waving their.
That's
arm.
What I thought was great about it was Cam Williams knocked it out, and then he got up, and I can't remember who he went and chest bumped on the sideline, but that person
Boogie.
Just. Flattened Cam Williams. It's like he delivers this great hit, and then he himself just gets steamrolled by Radley Hiles.
Yeah.
One of the things to me that's really encouraging, they lose Liatu, for the rest of his career. He had to medically retire. They lose ZTF, for the season, but it doesn't seem to be a problem getting pressure on the quarterback off the edge right now.
Well, I was going to say, we asked Ryan Bowman today about Braylon Trice, and Trice had a touch sack today.
He had two.
Yeah, he was coming off the edge a little bit. I saw Jeremiah Martin drop back into zone coverage again today, like he did yesterday when he picked off.
Man.
I was going to say, you don't see those guys. I mean, I'm seeing that, and all of a sudden I'm having flashbacks to like watching Larry Triplett doing that, 20 years ago. So,
but Joe Tryon was doing that, when he was here.
A little bit, but it's just different. To see that guy doing, because especially when we were expecting him to be more of just the pass rush presence, to be more of a defensive line presence. But Akaika Molloy, to his credit, he told us a couple weeks ago when we talked to him, by the way, guys, one of the reasons we really like Jeremiah Martin, we went hard after him, was because we think he can really be good in space. And he showed that yesterday, and he's starting to show up again today on it as well. But the other guy that I thought started to show up a little bit today, and Coach Molloy said it's just a matter of him, getting comfortable with the communication and the language and just getting up to speed with everything, because he was only kind of known as just being a bully physically, was Jordan Lolohea. Mm-hmm. And he had a couple nice hits as well today, and he showed up.
Well, he was on his mission for a couple of years, and the last guy we had on a mission that left for a while was the offensive lineman who was 290 pounds and returned at 220 pounds.
Willie Kava.
So we're expecting, to see, Jordan Lolohea come back and go, geez, what's he going to look like? But he looks like a football player.
Didn't he serve his mission like in Nebraska?
No, Detroit. A third world country.
Yeah, I mean, it was like
he went to a third world country, Detroit, Michigan.
He worked out at the Kronk gym. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, but I'm impressed with the pressure that they're able to get on the quarterback, and some of that has to do with the pressure they're getting up the middle too. But you know, one of the things that's kind of stood out to me today is, you know, a lot of people want to know who's first team, who's second team, who's third team. Scott, there was a lot of just mixing and matching today.
That's just been all spring. Yeah. I mean, it's for us to tell you guys, I mean, we make our best guess, but I don't even think the coaches, maybe aside from a few positions, know who's going to be their starters. I mean, the offensive line has basically remained the same, except for Vic Kern, who's been out because of whatever injury he's dealing with. And Mateo Mele has been the guy that has been in there with the ones at right tackle. But, I mean, other than that, the offensive line has basically been intact. But wide receivers, I mean, the top three wide receivers have been Bynum, McMillan, and Odunze. But today, Jordan Polk gets in there. He plays with the ones. And then on defense, you see Ed Efewan, Ulofosio, and Jackson Sermon as the middle linebackers. But then all of a sudden, Daniel Haimuli's in there. So, you know, and with Jackson Sermon. And then the two outside guys, they seem to be keeping the same pairs together, but they're rotating those guys in. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if we could really tell you right now who's going to be doing what.
And the one guy, to me, it just seems like they're really trying to throw into the fire. They're throwing Jacoby Covington in with the ones quite a bit, and then I'm not seeing as much of Asa Turner.
He wasn't dressed today.
And I'm beginning to wonder if Jacoby Covington is even past Asa Turner.
No.
I'm not there yet.
No, I'm not there yet. Because if anything, to be honest with you, Kim, in the rotation thing, we've seen Bookie Radley Hiles even playing safety back there too. So they're getting him prepped for a lot of different stuff. But – you know, Julius Irvin, don't forget about him. He's played quite a bit out there as well. And it's not to discredit what Covington's done. Mikel Esteen had a great day today. I just think it's just speaks well of the level of competition overall when it comes to those guys. Because right now, let's put it this way. We can put it to a vote. If you had to pick just one safety right now who you think is a shoe-in at the ones, who is it going to be now?
Cameron Williams.
We're already talking different guys. Yeah.
Well, Cam Williams is the one who's always in there. Dominic Hampton is not. That's the difference.
But Dom Hampton is a guy that's been ever present there. Julius Irvin's got a ton of reps there. And then you talk about Esteen, you talk about Covington, you talk about Radley Hiles getting reps back there. And we're not even talking about Cook or Turner, who weren't even dressed today. Yeah. But they've gotten a lot of turns too. Not as much with Cook, but Turner until the last 2 days was pretty much getting a ton of reps.
Well, Hampton's not only up playing safety, but they're dropping him down in the box a little bit too.
Sure. No, I mean, it speaks well to his speed and his overall athleticism. I mean, when you look at the Gunners, we're talking about guys like Kyler Gordon as being this kind of the special teams guy that gets the credit. But I'll tell you what, who's the other Gunner usually? It's Dominique Hampton. And it's a testament to how well he runs.
He downed one inside the five today.
Yeah. No, I mean,
another one, but it went out of bounds.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's just a testament to his abilities.
We do have competition with the kicking game, Race Porter and Tim Horn. Excuse me, Race Porter and
Tim Horn and
Brown. And then Peyton Henry and Tim Horn.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any competition, honestly.
Yeah, there's no competition on the punting part about it, but I think even the place kicking – But if you just go by how they looked last couple days.
Don't go by today. He hooked the ball twice, but I think Peyton Henry's looked the best.
I'm not saying Peyton Henry's losing his job. I'm saying Tim Horn's is going to make him sweat a little bit.
Yeah, the thing with Tim Horn that I'm noticing is he's got a stronger leg, I think, than Peyton Henry does. I think Peyton's more accurate. The problem with Tim Horn is he's getting a lot of distance, but he's not getting as much height on it, and we saw one blocked today.
Well, that was offside. North. That was Covington, and he was offside.
Wasn't that North, too? Or was that –
No, that was Horn.
Yeah,
that was
the one thing about Horn, like I said, you know, he's got a lower trajectory on his kick.
Oh, no, it was phenomenal. The fans went nuts when Covington blocked that kick. It was a phenomenal play until we realized, oh, flag, offside, defensive offside. So, unfortunately, it neutralized what would have been a really good play by him, but it also goes to show that Covington's making a difference on special teams as well as defense.
Is the blocked field goal / punt the rarest form of a big play?
Well, in spring football, it will, because
I'm
very
not talking
rarely
spring football. I'm just talking in general.
I think what was even more surprising about that was –
that it was Dom Hampton coming, or no, it was Jacoby Covington, my bad, coming off the edge.
Yeah.
I feel like when you see, it's a lot of times a big guy who gets like a paw on it.
Right.
But flying around the edge and just like chesting it up, you don't see a lot of it.
No, not at all. And on top of it, you very rarely see, would ever see it in spring because that was actually a live rep.
Yeah.
So not only did he do that, but he kind of almost wiped out Horn a little bit, which is like, they may look at that film later and go, well, I don't know if going live was such a great idea on that.
I bet if we looked at the stats and big plays, I bet two-point conversion is probably the rarest of anything. But block punts and kicks, I think, are very rare.
But I want to ask Jack, and I want to ask Luke also, just seeing what was going on. Yesterday, they had some situations where there were some kicks because the defense forced the offense back a little bit, mm-hmm. that they were having more than 50-yard kicks, and they were having Tim Horn kick them. Do you envision a situation where Henry might be asked to kick up to like 48, 49 yards, and then they might have might have Horn being the guy for 50-plus?
That's tough. You know, it's interesting. I think it would be – my one thing about it is not that a 50-plus yard field goal is a high percentage thing anyways, but if that's your first look, like Tim Horn comes – maybe it's mid-third quarter in the first – I guess he's doing plays – or he's kicking off as well.
But
his first field goal look is like 52 yards mid-third quarter. I think that's a challenging – mental situation to be thrown into.
Yeah, but if they prime him for it, if they tell him this is exactly what you're going to be in for.
If there's 5 seconds to go and it's fourth and long and you got a 52-yard field goal, are you going to go for it? You going to send Tim Horton or Peyton Henry?
Who are you sending? Wait, what's the situation?
End of the game?
Are they down two? Do they need the field goal? If it's tied, then I might just take a shot at the end zone so we don't get the kick six action.
No, it's to tie. It's to tie the game.
Oh, it's to tie. Okay, so you've got to do it.
You're down three.
It would still be Peyton Henry every day of the week.
Yeah,
right now,
I think I would probably go Peyton Henry as well, just because he's the incumbent. But I've also have only been
I think
at one
Peyton
practice.
Peyton Henry, when he hits it right, he can hit it.
How about 56 yards? How about 56 yards?
Tim Horn is the 60-plus guy.
To be honest with you, I don't know if we're even talking about the guy on the team that has the strongest leg, because we have not seen that much of Jarrett North, the walk on freshman. But we saw a little bit of him early, and the ball was just exploding off his foot.
It was
easy power.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He might even have the strongest leg. So if it's 56, you might even bring him on.
I think you want to redshirt him, though, so that you can have him for – because Peyton Henry's got this year and likely next year.
So is it your opinion that they brought in North to be basically the next Peyton Henry?
Okay. The next kicker.
All right.
End of practice competition. It was offense, defense, and coaches were also involved. But catching punts, I think it was from the 50 with
Roger Rosengarten.
Yeah, on offense. Let's go ahead and start with what happened on that. I don't know how they select who on the offense goes out there, but you knew it was going to be one of the big guys. But it was Race Porter kicking to Roger Rosengarten, and he looked a little bit lost to begin with, but he sure came around.
I mean, he had a better.
He made it look easy.
He fielded it cleaner than I thought it would be, honestly. And then Tuatele, the defense, it looked like he was down on the knees, barely didn't get under him.
But he got it.
He got it.
What was it, Tuatele? Was it? It was Bandis.
It was Bandis.
Yeah, definitely Bandis.
Okay.
So, his was a little more – his wasn't as clean as
– So, if he dropped it, that would have meant that they would have been running.
Yeah, the coaches. It was good to see Saha out there.
But he got it, and he rolled a little bit. So, both offense and defense caught the ball, which meant coaches have to run.
Yeah.
And, Tim Saha, who's – I think he's had two knees replaced, a hip replaced. It's kind of reminiscent of Dan Cazzetto being out there.
Well, I'm here to tell –
Saha was running.
I'm here to tell you, we don't get a chance to see a lot of the stuff that those guys do after practice. Because, like, the procedure penalties and things like that. Those guys do gassers and crab walks and do all sorts of crap as punishment for, like, screwing those up. And Saha's right in the middle of that. And the reason why Saha's in the middle of all that is that when Saha was running the gassers,
the
players weren't going after their position coaches. They weren't going after Coach Lake. They were all over Coach Saha. They were over him like nobody's business.
And
use the bullhorn.
Just watching him run is not pretty. not pretty.
It's not fun.
No, with the hips gone. Because
it reminds me.
He was an offensive lineman, right?
I'm sure he was. Yeah,
he was a lineman. In Happy Gilmore, when Happy's old boss chased down Shooter
Mr. Larson.
Yeah, Mr. Larson. That's what it reminded me of. Watch.
I'm gonna get you.
Intern Jack McCauley. Final thoughts on practice today.
It was a little sloppier than I thought, or than I would hope to see, I think, with the penalties and then just drop balls. I don't know if it was, you know, weather conditions, because it's been so nice out for the drop balls at least, but a little sloppier. I think there's some good flash plays, you know, I guess with the, you know, Sunday getting rocked, I guess two times with the hit and then the fumble. But yeah, energy was high, which was good to see. So yeah, overall, I think it was good, just a little sloppier than I like to see.
Luke Munger, first time out to see the team. What'd you think?
Yeah, you know, I think what stood out to me, just 11 practices in, I was glad to see that. I think the competitive spirit and energy is still high, which I think is a good thing. I think they've fostered a competitive kind of environment and atmosphere, which is good. So, yeah, it was just more so for me personally, it was great to get out and watch the Huskies play live football.
And just real quick, Luke, it's always cool. We've had some amazing interns that have moved on to a lot of different things. You've graduated.
And not so good ones.
Yeah.
Tell people what you're up to.
You know, I work for a tech recruiting company, so I'm no Joe Kaiser working at ESPN right now. But, you know, I'm married with a dog, so that's kind of exciting. And my wife's going to go to med school next year, so things are looking up for the Munger family.
You were doing a little bit of radio, too.
Oh, yeah. And then I also spotted for Tony Castricone and his broadcast team.
That's why some of the yardage has been off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so if he's out there.
I said it was 3rd and 10. It's actually 3rd and 1.
Yeah.
So.
And then he's out there. Shaq Thompson on the stop. It's like, he doesn't play for the Huskies. Oh, that's on Luke. Yeah. That,
So if you could go back and do one more year of college and do an internship with us to follow the football team, would you do it?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
It's like I told my kids.
Listen to Scott's mumble rap for 1 year more.
It's like, yeah. I told my kids, stay in school as long as you can. Yeah. The real world sucks. But
that's 100% true.
Yeah, I had my old man moment with these guys.
Yeah, good to have you back, though, Luke.
Which one? Oh, is it you're at?
With going to get off my lawn.
Oh, yeah. Moment.
But good to have you back.
Oh, thank you. No, it's great to be back.
All right. And Scott Eklund, final thoughts?
Yeah, well, aside from neither of our interns knowing who Eddie Van Halen was, that just...
Okay, that's not true. That was just Jack. Let the record show.
I'm so glad I wasn't standing next to you guys.
They're playing Beat It. And I said, you know who this is, don't you? And they couldn't figure it out. So I said, it was Eddie Van Halen. And Jack goes, who's that?
He said, who does on the guitar?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's Michael Jackson.
Yeah. No. But when they did the guitar solo. Anyway... All that being said, good practice, I think, either way. Yes, there was some sloppiness, but still some good hitting and stuff like that. I thought, I honestly think the team looks much different than the team that we saw in the first week. I mean, I think they're flying around. They're making plays. I like seeing some of the younger guys making some plays. Jacob Bandis had a sack today. Daniel Haimuli getting in there a little bit more. Mikel Esteen making some plays. It's a lot of fun seeing some of these guys. Cameron Fabi-Kulanen making some plays. So lots of fun seeing some of these younger guys get out there and do their thing. These are guys who never have seen a spring practice before in 2 years of being here for a couple of them. So like seeing it, and I'm looking forward to this next week. I'll be here on Wednesday and Saturday and looking forward to seeing what Saturday looks like.
Final thoughts, Chris Fetters?
Yeah, I did. I thought overall, you know, obviously disappointed with the weather. We've had great weather the last week and a half or so, and so for the rain to come down a little bit was disappointing. But I think it was good for these guys to get a little of the elements. And we saw it in the drops, and we saw some other things. So, you know, it was probably good for them to get a little bit of a mix in terms of the conditions. And to echo what Scott said, I think it's always good to see new guys stepping up and showing that they're starting to ramp up and develop and maybe hopefully finding that consistency piece that really – is what they have to get during these times, because they put a lot of reps down on tape in the last 3 weeks, and this is only going to help them going forward. I believe there was only one pick that I remember today, so that was good. You know, you don't want to see the interceptions and stuff, so I thought that was a positive. It was also a positive to see the fumble too. I mean, it was good for the defense to get in there and get their nose in the ball and find it. So. Overall, a good day. I thought it was a mix. Both sides got a little bit of action. and was surprised that there wasn't as much 2-minute as I thought there might be compared to what we saw Friday. But we saw 4-minute. We saw some other situations which made up for it. So hopefully the fans enjoyed it. You know, this time next week, I think it's going to be great because right now the way they're ramping things up, I think spring game could be really, really, really fun to watch.
3 weeks in the books. You know, we've got a really good gig. I mean, it's cool what we do. So we're 3 weeks in. We have a week to go. And just, you know, some of the people that we've run through dogman.com in terms of interns, you know, just gone on to do some great things. So it's great to have Luke back. It's still fun to torment him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't make it too difficult. But, you know, Jack's winding down at UW. So, you know, Jack's going to have to find his replacement here before we know it. And then he'll come back like Luke did and some of the other guys. But, you know, another week. Next Saturday will be the spring game. Hopefully the weather turns a little bit better than it is this weekend. But it's been good. It's good finally to be back doing some football stuff. It's been a while. So for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells, along with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, Jack McCauley, and Luke Monger. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.